because you can handle the truth.
All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. We got Mike in Kentucky on, and Ken's working on getting Susan on the line, Susan Danzler. So go ahead, Mike. You had a few seconds to regroup and talk about it. You know, slavery and the Civil War, it seems to be, we don't know. We don't know what the heck was going on there. We're told one thing, again, to quote Alan, we've been fed a pack of lies. Our lives, lies. It's all, you know, drives you crazy, Mike.
You have to drive you crazy. What makes people go fight in a war, you know, and risk being shot for desertion or something if they decide to, you know, they're fed up with what's going on. But there's a quote, and of course, I guess you'd say spoiled enough or whatever. I sent in a subscription to the Model of the Month Club or something like that back in the late 70s, and if you didn't send in your card, you would get these models that you didn't really want to build. One of them I got was a cutaway of the George Washington class Polaris nuclear submarine called the Robert E. Lee. And so it always puzzled me when, you know, how controversial that guy was. You know, I didn't know much about the Civil War. They didn't teach us, I don't even think they taught the whole 14th Amendment in our history books, but propaganda works. And until it's short-circuited and you go, wait a minute, that's not the whole story. There's a lot of people keep trying to say that the war between the states was just about slavery. It surely was a factor, and it was because of the propaganda of the North, but the political elements of the North still had a lot of slaves, and they used them to fight the South, you know.
Think of it, Mike, as a percentage of the people. You know, think about how many plantations there were in the South and then how many factories and there were up in the North, and basically all those factories were basically manned with slave labor. I mean, they were forced 12-hour shifts, and, you know, got just enough to get a little gruel and maybe some beer to make them, you know, dull their senses, and then they, you know, that's the life they lived.
Well, there's a line, I think, in the new Blade Runner movie, 2048, or whatever, it's been out for years. All empires are built on cheap labor. Of course, the next labor that's coming will be basically
the robot.
You know, replicants, you know, things that are not born of a woman. Born of a woman. And so they don't have the natural-born rights. You know, that I think they'd love to eliminate the family. That's in a lot of science fiction, you know, be it Orwell or Huxley or whatever. The family is at war or in competition with the state for your loyalties. You can't serve two masters, as the previous caller says. Dual citizens have two masters. Well, there's also the master of your family. And all the entertainment coming out of Hollywood loves to demonize the nuclear family. The man is goofy and stupid, and the woman's always putting him down, you know, and the children are putting him down, and, you know,
Mike, they started this back as far as you remember, like My Three Sons and Family Affair. You know, it was a single father, you know, raising the boys, or the single father raising the little boy and little girl, and Mr. French. You know, they started this very slowly back then, even.
Oh yeah, yeah, and normalizing it. I remember The Courtship of Eddie's Father. People, let me tell you about my best friend. Of course, he became the Incredible Hulk. Bigsby, but
really,
anyway. Let me give you this quote from Jefferson Davis. The war must go on, and it's in, you know, it's in pieces here, part of a larger paragraph, until the last man of this generation falls in his tracks, .. Unless you acknowledge our right to self-government, we are not fighting for slavery, we are fighting for independence, and that, or extermination, we will have. If you guys have your Texas independence, and you know, based on my experience, you've got to be leery and on the watch all the time for infiltrators. You know, we had that happen up here in Kentucky, people infiltrating the so-called militia movement, which I was asked to do some videos for, and concerned citizens for Kentucky and take back Kentucky and stuff like that. And I think one of the things you want to watch out for is twins. I think that the deep state or whatever will make use of twins because most people can't tell them apart, you know, identical twins. And they can be, you know, a two-faced operator and be have plausible deniability, you know, things like that.
Mm.
You know, it's like they talk about with Timothy
McVeigh. Mike, I have no doubt that they have been, you know, the Island of Dr. Moreau, movies like that, they weren't just entertainment. They're telling us actually what they're doing. You know, human-animal hybrids, you know, cross-hybrids, genetic hybrids, cloning. All this stuff is real, folks. I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to do. If I could do it, if I had the frickin' labs and the technicians and everything, it wouldn't be that damn hard.
Well, the money involved is the thing. I mean, if you can build Sirhan into an assassin, you know, if you could go...
Yeah, but money's not a thing, right?
Huh?
Money's fake anyway. Well, for them, the money's fake. Right, you print like whatever you want.
How much do you need printed today?
Right, how much do you need for a lab? have it cheap tomorrow.
How many blips? Well, anyway, I just, you know, with the Joe Biden stuff and Trump crap going on, it's mostly a distraction, but I think a lot of people never heard that quote.
Sure.
Jefferson Davis saying that we didn't fight for slavery, and Robert E. Lee was a great historical figure. Doesn't mean he was a great person any more than Thomas Jefferson was. I've hit a few Democrats with that over the years, you know.
What Democrats about guys like Smedley Butler? You know, I don't know him personally, but he sure wrote a book and spoke out about it. We weren't taught anything about that guy, were we?
No. There's only one token movie, and I'll go with this comment. One token movie about the Jewish organized crime in this country is called The American Story. It's kind of boring. But I think that's very telling. You know, there's all kinds of movies about the Italian mafia, the Chinese mafia, the Russian mafia, the whatever mafia. And you just have one token movie about the organized crime from the Jewish side of things. And there's organized crime in the story of September 11th because they'd hijacked the phone systems. we're not supposed to talk about it. So...
we're not supposed to remember hearing the reports of the dancing Israelis or the Israelis caught with explosives and all this other crap.
Or
yeah.
Right. Jack Ruby's full name.
Right, Rubenstein.
Jack Ruby's full name, yeah. Jack Rubenstein.
Yep.
Republic Broadcasting had an article up about it. Go read it, and it'll take you a long time to go through all the links and stuff. I haven't even finished it on did Israel's kill the Kennedys? And even John. So, watch out, man. they have a lot of force and down there where you're at, that, you know, John Hagee and all those ultra, you know, greater Zionists that are all through Texas, that's where they're rolling out 5G, too, in part, mainly for Wi-Fi. So, they've got a lot of force multipliers and a lot of loyal people. So, good luck to you guys with the Republic of Texas thing, but... Most of the people wouldn't even notice that Texas seceded as long as we kept 50 stars on the flag, just to divide California in half or add Puerto Rico. Most people wouldn't know.
Add the Philippines and all their garbage. You know, and let them go to war with Canada.
Talk to you guys later, man.
Good to hear
you. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Yeah, it's been a while. Well, you know, Ken's been dialing up Susan, and for some reason she wants to sleep. And so we're going to give her a call after the next break and see if we can interrupt her. Maybe, you know, I don't know what's going on. You clear a landing spot out on the carrier and say, come on in, and, well, something happens. Whatever. We've got a lot to talk about still. Because, I didn't get over anything I wanted to talk about last hour. So So let's go there right now. Did you hear Trump pulled out of the UN arms agreement? Alan, is that important at all?
I have something about it. It's just more fluff for the background. I'm more stuff to keep us occupied.
Uh-huh. And what about the German Germany? Germany is in fear of recession, or not recession. The German people and the businesses in Germany are upset because the war between the trade war between the United States and the EU, where we're like, we want a better deal, man. And, you know, Trump is, you know, pretending he's serious, right? He's negotiating. It's the barter table. So they're sitting there going, well, I don't want tariffs on my Mercedes or my Volkswagen, you know, or any of the Porsches. No, no, no. You don't want that, you know? So that's going on, which is interesting. And the reason I bring that up, Alan, it's just all just lead-in information to Brexit. Because those dang guys over at Brexit think that the way that you're supposed to negotiate, right? Well, maybe they don't think that. Maybe they're just dumbasses, right? Because their politician, you know, Theresa May, is walking over to the UN and going, hey, when we catch a fish, we want to be able to sell it in your marketplace, and we don't want a tariff on it. Is that okay? And they go, no. And she comes back and goes, they said no. Oh, you guys, it's the best we can do. Oh, I'm Theresa May.
Let's recall them and hire and elect people in there that we want in there. Oh, oops, we can't do that, can we? Because that's the blue blood royalty that's running the whole damn thing. I mean, my God, they've got a Junkers as the president.
Know,
I mean, he's...
and they're making this, well, again, we've got this problem of the corporate media sitting there putting forth this idea that that the UK is going to get good terms as it leaves the EU. Good terms comes from, one, having the cojones or the tenacity to ask for it and to be able to back it up. Well, they're like, well, we don't want to leave with a no-deal Brexit. We want to have all of our terms right here. These are our terms. We want you to agree to them. That's not the way negotiations have ever gone in reality. I'm sorry, folks. The no-deal Brexit is the only way to go, you know? And if Alan, will it entail suffering on the people of Britain? I think it would, you know? What about you? You know, a no-deal Brexit, for the first moment in my life, my belief, it's going to make them rethink some things, and then they can start working them all out.
Steve, I don't know. This makes about as much, all this stuff makes about as much sense to me as, let me see, what was it? I heard a while back that, was it Colombia, I believe, had joined NATO. Now, as far as I can recall, even the geography I was given, I think Colombia is like on the South Pacific side of the world. So what the hell are they even doing joining NATO? It's the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And, you know, that's as much sense as anything makes in this world that they do to us anymore.
I understand. And it's all the people of Britain are, you know, that's their problem, right? You know, but they have this, they had an election, a selection or whatever, and allegedly that the people of Britain, they go by all sorts of names. They go by the UK, the United Kingdom, or Great Britain. Yeah, Farron doesn't like that one, which I kind of get. They're, you know, tell me why they're great. But they have the same problem that we have here in the United States, and that's why I follow what's going on with Brexit and with Spain. And we'll get into Spain here in a little bit if we, you know, continue on here. But the UK has that problem of their population that have grown up under the EU after the year 2000, really, they don't some of them, God, how do I say this? They have jobs that are kind of like what we have here in the cities of the corporate United States. You know nothing but going to work for your master, right? And your master is going to be an individual or a corporation. And you get a paycheck, and you, in the Britain, you will sit there and you get health care. Right. So if you feel bad, you can go in and say, my fingers hurt. Will you fix it? Yes, we will fix your finger. We'll give you an appointment in a week, or I don't know how bad it is in Britain, but you know, that's socialized medicine. So that's taken care of. So these individuals that are growing up in the EU, now they have their employer that's going to pay them if they have a job. The older people, you know, now they're out. They were manufacturing and things like this. What we really need here in Britain is probably the same stuff that they need here in the United States, is marketing executives, middle management. They probably need computer programmers, you know, IT support individuals, lawyers, assistants, the legal secretaries, they call them. They have the same problems that we have here in the corporate United States, which is we were once a manufacturing nation. Now manufacturing is all done by computers and robots. You know, you call them the assembly line. But a newspaper in the olden days used to, how many people do you think it took to staff a newspaper, Alan? You know, several hundred to run that newspaper printing press and typesetting machine and all that other crap just to do a daily print. Nowadays is done, can be done by one person and, you know, a computer.
Yeah, actual reporters that actually went out and looked at stuff and not just read from a news feed. Yeah.
Right. And, you know,
and Steve, the English have been at the heart of so much of the problems around the world. I mean, think about it. You know, it's war on whitey now, because, you know, we have, you know, you look at the advancements in the world, you know, it has been white people who've come up with, you know, the majority of the vast, you know, major advancements that have, you know, made, air quotes, you know, life better for us. You know, it made it more convenient, made it easier, which I don't know if is, you know, in the long run, if is that a good thing or not. You know, when we actually had to struggle a little bit, you actually appreciate what you get and things like that. But, you know, the English were their, an island empire. You know, everything that they had, they couldn't support everyone, you know, from what they could grow on their island or manufacture on their island, or, you know, minerals and the, you know, all the other wealth that they had. They had to go other places to get that. I mean, look at what they did to the Middle East, for one thing, where all this crap is going on now. The British came in and they designated, okay, you're going to be Saudi Arabia, you're going to be Qatar, you're going to be this, you're going to be that. And they incorporated all these little tribal units, and they crossed borders with them to make sure that there would always be strife there, and through strife, they keep control, because you keep everyone at everyone else's throats. It's like, well, you can offer one of them, you know, we'll give you the weaponry that'll be better than theirs, so you can whoop their butt, and then, you know, take over their land, but still, Britain is controlling the whole damn thing. I'm still almost of the opinion anymore, from what I've learned, that, you know, the Revolutionary War, we really did not ever get free from Britain. They just figured out how to do it behind the scenes and take advantage of us and just mind screw us and steal all of our mineral wealth and everything else. I mean, that's what our Revolutionary War was supposedly fought about. You know, was because they wanted to take everything that we had and tax the hell out of us and keep us poor over here when we're over here, you know, starting a new country, supposedly, and, you know, had all this vast country out here to tackle and settle and everything. And they just used it as a source of material wealth.
Sure. And, you know, when we had Mike in Kentucky on, you know, at the top of last hour and, you know, into the front of the second hour, and he left us with, well, good luck with your, you know, Texas Republic or Texas Independence. And I take that, man. I'll take the good luck, because it's going to take it. I really don't see that as, man, we're so deep down the rabbit trail right now. You know, do I see anybody there? I really don't know, right? But I do know we're in a mess, folks. Hang on. Let's do the break. We'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right. Welcome back. Republic of Texas Radio. I was just talking about Mike in Kentucky and his farewell. Good luck there in Texas, Independence Land. And, yeah, it's going to, man, it might not happen. We may all slide into the pit of hell here on this planet called Earth. At least we call it Earth right now. It'd be renamed Terra Firma, so we'll just call it Terra in the beginning so we don't have to talk about things like, you know, back in the day they talked about dinosaurs melting down into a thing called oil, and we're, you know, all these lies that they've been fed to us, right? So oil isn't organic, but it came out of melted dinosaurs, melted pressurized, you know, come on, folks. It's silly. It's really kind of silly. And so the pessimist in me, Alan, says, yeah, right, Texas independence. What do? Do you stop and just go about your day? That's what everybody else is doing, right? You know, the people that come to visit our town.
Steve, what I do is, yesterday, good example, you know, we're out working, you know, I was helping you out over there at that church over there, and you know, and we were talking to the old gentleman out there, and, you know, old LC, and, you know, I held my tongue pretty good, but I try to make everyone that I come in contact with, let them know, you know, kind of a little bit of what's going on. You know, we talked about this and that, you know, he worked, 45 years for, you know, the electric co-op, you know. And I brought up, well, it's a corporation. He said, well, it's a co-op. And I said, it's a corporation. Come on, LC, be real. And so I was kind of easy on him. But, you know, at one point, we're walking outside to do something, And I was talking as we went out, and I just turned around in the doorway, and I said, you know what, Elsie? I stuck my hand out, and he kind of stuck his hand out and grabbed mine. I said, Alan Crutcher, damn glad to meet you. You know, I said, Elsie, I want to live in a world where that was your contract, your handshake and your word. You know, that used to be good enough. You know, people were honorable, you know, to a better part, at least where I grew up. And that's the kind of world I want to live in, where, you know, you could trust people. Your word was your contract. You didn't have to have some lawyer sit down and write up a 30-page contract to have your lawn mowed. You know,
agreed.
The world is just going crazy.
Alan,
go ahead.
That brings us back to a call that we get a lot of times here on talk radio, not just my show, but all sorts of show that goes, you're talking about the problem, let's talk about solutions. Well, let me tell you, folks, the solutions, and it might be hard for you to understand, is talking about the problems and trying to raise awareness, right? And some people do it differently, and you might not agree with them. Like Jerry in Texas was talking about asking cops, you know, whether they're code enforcement or law enforcement. You know, I may disagree on that avenue, but man, Jerry makes an impact on the world. He talks to people. I don't know where he's going. He doesn't know where I'm going. I do this little radio show with Alan, you know, and we talk about the world around us. We talk about history. We invite you all in, right? We try to show you RBN, Republic Broadcasting, republicbroadcasting.org, a place that has existed in time for, well, God, how old? I don't know. 10, 15 years or so for Republic Broadcasting itself, but John Stadtmiller's been doing this since the 90s with Republic International. So what are you going to say? You know, this could be a blip in time, folks, and it all may go away. You know, we're watching people they made up a new word within a couple years. You know, 2014, they didn't have a word called deplatforming. They've been kicking people off the internet. They've been censoring speech. They don't do it at a governmental level. They do it at a corporate level. We can't support censorship of the private platforms. They have to, you know, they have to do a better job of censoring. And what do they have to censor? Well, I don't know.
You want to know a phrase that really gets under my skin, Steve? In our local paper here. I'll just read this one little line that really got me. I read the letters to the editor and everything here because it just drives me crazy, but it keeps my memory going and keeps me fighting. Here, let's also protect our families with red flag laws. These laws empower family members to petition the courts to temporarily restrict a person's access to guns when they pose a risk to themselves or others. You know, these people have just been freaking brainwashed. They have no understanding of what it's like except for in their little section of the world, and they want the rest of the world to live like they have to. And that just pisses me off because I don't want to live like they want to. And I should have the choice not to. Yes.
Was that in... Damn. See, there you go. Somebody thinks that you're something, then that's true. You know,
I can guarantee you didn't grow up here.
Yeah, I'm going to open the phone lines back up since we haven't been able to get all to Susan. If she calls in, we'll give her whatever time we can give her. But other than that, let's jump back to the phone lines. We got Thomas, 1-800-313-9443. Thomas, what's going on, man? Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. Just as a comment on those red flag laws. In effect, the red flag law is going all the way back to the days of witch burning. Think about it. Somebody just points to someone and says, I think I saw them turn into a raven behind the barn last night. I think they're a witch. And next thing you know, you're being burned at the stake.
How do we tell if she's a witch? Well, if we throw her in the pond and she sinks, she's not a witch. If she floats, she's a witch. You know,
Yeah.
To and throw
but I mean,
you
a single accuser, can actually do you in. Well, that's not that's the opposite of what our whole our legal system was about. It should be about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, single accusers are very dangerous.
You know, this the whole thing, Jerry. It repeats time and time and time. I don't see how the human population is so stupid that they let this repeat again and again. Well, I know what it is. A new technology comes along, and it makes everything a little more comfortable, a little more convenient for them, and they start forgetting, you know, why we had to, we're struggling in the first place. You know, it's everything gets easier and easier, and then they have people representing them in their government, and then they lose all track of, you know, any control that they have over their lives, because for convenience, it's like we always seem to give it up. Everyone's looking for convenience, the easiest way to do it, and that's just, you know, the old saying, you know, strife makes a good person. You know, a little adversity in your life is actually, you know, a good thing.
Red flag. Thomas?
Yes. The other thing I was going to talk about was two other things. You were talking about the reason for the Civil War, and unless I've got it wrong, you know, it started at Charleston, where, you know, the South fired on the Fort Sumter. Well, the main reason the Civil War was fought, or one of the main reasons, apparently, was the fact that the North was taxing the devil out of the South. And the South was actually covering, I think by the time they figured out the various taxations, they were covering at least 80% of the federal budget. And they kind of thought that was unfair. And they are also forced to pay large tariffs on anything brought in from Europe, like for machinery and whatnot. And we're being forced to buy stuff out of the Northeast, which apparently was inferior to the stuff that was coming over from the more well-developed European manufacturing. And the fact that they fired on Fort Sumter was the fact that that was symbolic. That was a point of collection. That was a point of revenue, where Charleston is a very large ship harbor. I mean, if you ever see it, you know, you can bring large ships in there. And they were basically saying, no, we don't want to pay that tax. You're bankrupting us, and you're charging us, and you're forcing us to buy shoddy, inferior American-made products. Also, I guess stuff from anywhere coming in was being taxed by the North, and that was a Yankee collection point at Fort Sumter. You know, it's right there, narrow harbor entrance, and they could get a hold of any ship and do an inventory and collect the tax. The other thing I was going to mention was, pardon?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing of the Civil War is, I think it was Robbie Noel years ago, he said, you can't find any time in history when one race of man, one ethnic or race of man fought and died for another race of man. If you can find it, he said, let me know. There's never been, you know, Chinese people willing to fight to the death to protect, you know, Malaysian people, or, you know what I'm saying, you can't find it. It's non-existent. We don't do that.
If they were left to their own accord, yes. If the governments would stay out of the way, you're exactly correct. But look what's going on right now. We've got our you know, good American boys going over and fighting, you know, for what? You know, we're over, you know, freeing people, you know, from the oppression of these dictators in other countries, which we have no reason being there in the first place, unless they actually do something to us. I mean, it's going on now. You know, if the governments would stay out of the way, you're exactly correct. Most of the people on this planet would get along just fine, except for the governments to get in, and they're the ones who turn us and twist us in all these different directions.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of a guy named Dr. E. Michael Jones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would recommend all listeners to listen to any one of his lectures. He wrote a book called The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit. And I love listening to his lectures. He's actually funny, and I believe he's very informative. And he kind of gets to the bottom of all of our troubles here. You know, we're always in turmoil over all the symptoms that plague us from, you know, A to Z. But the very root source is the fact he basically discusses the advent, the beginnings of what we call Christendom, you know, say a lot of us don't go to church every Sunday, but basically we are of the Christian culture, and we all understand the Ten Commandments, and we're all of a very specific culture. We know what's right, we know what's wrong. If I was in a war and I was captured by the other side, I would hope to God that I got captured by some Christians, because they'd probably treat me decently. If I got captured by some Muslims, they'd probably cut my head off. If I got captured,
well,
think about the various. The world was being dominated and in other words, a lot of bad things happened with the spread of Christianity, because it really was a conquering situation. You know, when the higher technology people out of Europe spread out all over the globe, but they really were spreading Christianity too. And
yeah, but you know, there's been a lot of deaths spreading Christianity too, though, Thomas. You know, we had this talk with this gentleman yesterday, because we have to be in a Lutheran church, and we started talking about Martin Luther and the Reformation and everything, and I was like, yeah, you know, there's quite a few people kind of lost their lives during the Reformation, you know, and the Crusades, and you know, whatever else you want to, you know, bring up. There's been a lot of death because of religion, because it separates us. Most of us have an innate sense of what we know is good. I think the most part of the population still are good people at heart, but then it's the psychopaths, the ones who are born psychopaths or created as psychopaths from very young or whatever, those are the ones who tend to get to positions of power, and that's why we go through this time and time again.
Yeah, well, like they say, and the idea is man is innately imperfect. And that's why I say a lot of people don't go to church and say, well, I don't belong to a church, but I am of the Christian culture. You don't go to church because, you know, look at all the stuff that happens. You know, you find the deacon is is having an affair with one of the parishioners. Somebody's stealing money out of the church collection. That's because there's always, you know, us failed, you know, men basically trying to preside over, some kind of an institution, and inevitably there'll always be some form of corruption. And the murdering of Christians against Christians in Europe obviously was a handiwork of politicizing religion.
I can't
but
say
the
I've
whole
been
idea
in my
of
life,
Christianity.
You know, but,
all you do is put the Ten Commandments up on the wall and read them. Hey, who wouldn't want to live according to that? And if we did, wouldn't it be a wonderful world?
And a lot of religions around the world, you know, have this. We've got the same basic things, you know, at its base, you know, is the peaceful coexistence. You know, whether it's Buddhism or Hindu or what, I mean, whatever you want to do, you know, at their basic tenets, it's, you know, it's just getting along with everyone else and the good ideas. But then it's taken and it's twisted. Like Luke say, anything that has, that gets, that gains, you know, a certain amount of influence over a certain percentage of the population, it's infiltrated, twisted, and it's turned to completely the opposite of what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, well, that's why I like Dr. Jones. I think if you watch his, listen to his lectures, they're fun to listen to, and I really do think he's got it all. He's got a lot of it figured out, and it answers a lot of your questions. And in effect, once you know what the trouble is, you know, you can generally start thinking about what the solutions might be.
Yeah, solutions.
Well,
unfortunately, the way I see it,
all
solutions are something we really can't talk about, because if it's for the good, it's not going to be. It's not going to be painless. It's not going to be bloodless. Whatever happens,
no, there's no way out. There's no way out. Once you realize there's no way out,
yeah.
I mean, there is a way out, but it's not what you want.
Yeah, not going to be everyone just laying down their arms and saying kumbaya. Yeah,
yeah, Alan, I want to have something I need to talk to you about here. But let Thomas go. You
okay,
say
thank
it's
you.
Something that you can't, yeah. thank you. You say it's something you can't talk about, but we can talk about it, right? You know, we can talk about, is it going to be violence, right? That's going to come out of, right, the people of the planet. Let's say maybe it'll erupt in a place of turmoil in the corporate United States, or could it be Spain, right? Because Spain is having, you know, some massive problems with Catalonia. You got socialists that are in, and they have a geographic barrier there, Alan. They, You know, you've got the north of Spain, Catalonia. You've got a history of being an independent and conquered nation, and they're not getting a redress of their grievances. Last time they said, we want to be free and we don't want to keep supporting y'all, right, or you all, or however they want to say it. They were met with billy clubs and imprisonment of their politically elected leaders, right? So what is going to happen there is going to be a microcosm of where we are going today, and that is really what we're talking about right this minute. You know, is it going to turn to violence? Well, is Spain disarmed? Yes? No? Well, then it's going to become... Go ahead. What do you think?
I don't think we can talk about any firearm ownership. There might be some firearm ownership, but it's more than likely it's very restricted.
But even if it's restricted, right? We're talking civil war. We're talking, you know, it could go the way of Ireland, right? Of the IRA and Sinn Féin and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, boom, boom, everybody's killing everybody on the DL, right? You know, going, free Catalonia, boom, right? That could go that way. And the U.S., if you look at the U.S., I guess your point is we can't publicly go out there and say, and I wouldn't want to do this, by the way, go out there and say, take up arms against who? You point to them. Right, they're your friends and your family. There are no dividing lines. The people that are that have the wrong thoughts, right, that aren't thinking things through, are your neighbor. They're your, you know, the person that cuts your hair, the guy that runs the, you know, convenience store, you know, the guy that's behind you, you know, tailgating. You know, it gets in. That's not the route.
You know, Steve. Even when things, you know, these revolutions and stuff start for the good, you know, the rest of the population is always drug into it. You know, one way or the other. You know, I mean, you know, because if a revolution is started, it creates strife on all those people out there who were just getting along in the system. Oh, you know, it could always get worse. I'm not going to say anything. All those people. You know, the vast percentage out there who, as you know, the saying goes, all it takes for, you know, evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing. You know, those people, you know, they're going to be out there and they're going to fight you at the first, but then eventually, you know, when the government starts coming down on everyone because what a few people are doing, you know, everyone thinks that those people that are doing it, oh, those are bad people, we've got to stop them. So there's always a resistance against the people who are trying to free everyone else because they get drug into it, whether they want to or not. And eventually it gets to a point of where it gets so bad on them that they've got to take a side, whether it's for the good or, you know, trying to change things or just going back to the same old crap and struggling through life or whatever. You know, everyone, I guess, has their choice in one way or another. But like I said, either way it goes, it's not going to be painless. It never has been. I mean, they're not going to lay down, they're not going to come out on television and say, oh, y'all don't like the taxation, y'all don't like the oppression, you know, everything else. It's like, oh, we're sorry, we'll go, here's your country back. That's not going to happen.
You're probably right, you know, but my point is we can talk about it. We can talk about it. I don't know that I'd want to. Oh, no, I don't want to. I wouldn't openly do it. I have an opinion. My opinion is right now we need to talk about this. We need to talk about the state of our world. This thing we call Earth, right? And we need to talk about, you know, the way that we're interacting with everybody. And talk radio does a really good job of doing that. And it's growing. And it's getting scarier to them, Alan. I read an article this week that said that podcasts are killing music. And the author goes on to say how he thinks that podcasts and individual broadcasters are the bane of the music industry. And, you know, he got involved with podcasting and he stopped listening to music. And now he's going back to listening to music. But he's not in our genre of, let's say, because we're not really podcasters per se. We're broadcasters, and we have live radio listeners and satellite listeners and blah, 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 blah. Podcast is just something that you create and throw up into space for people to ingest. Now, his argument was that people don't listen to music anymore because of the podcasters. And where I feel that people don't listen to music much anymore because they produce mainly crap. And so they don't get a lot of music. And the music industry is an industry that forces music upon people and pays them money to play their music. And they, you know, it's a very controlled world.
The ones that become popular are controlled, Steve. But, you know, it's like Robert Rabo on his show. He plays a lot of, I know they're just bar bands. You know, he goes and sees a bar band and they've got a CD.
Okay.
But, you know, very few of these bands, you know, make it to the big time. But it's great music. You know, these guys are just out there just barely, you know, eking by, a lot of them, you know, making a living. But, you know, they're loving their life. They're out wild partying all the time. So, you know, but the ones that really make it popular, basically, you know, they sell their souls to the devil.
And why do you need to make it popular? You know, so you can be a millionaire, you can buy a mansion, and, you know, have those limo cars and the girls or the guys, you know, hanging all over you and the bling and the, well, I don't want to work or do anything, so I'm going to, no, a lot of artists or musicians like to play because they started playing and that they worked, but it would be nice if they could make a living, but not through the copyright thing. And then that, again, when we start talking copyright, we start talking the controls, the chains that hold us down. Ah, I'm sorry. I'm carrying on. And we do have one last caller. do you want to go to the caller?
Sure.
I think you know her. Hey, well, got another. You know. But we got Mer first. Hi, Mer.
Hi.
Good to hear you.
Yeah, good to hear all of you, too. Interesting.
How are you? Interesting day.
I'm good. I put a lot of things in your chat. And the main thing...
I know. Thank you so much.
I think the caller was talking about Jones is because he is a lone voice, pretty much, that discusses the Jews. And that is where, who makes the money? Who is amoral with their trying to transgender everyone? I mean, come on. You know, how better to eugenicize everyone? You know, omnicide, then kill everything, you know. But with worthless, focused on this worthless money, this is a spiritual schoolhouse, this earth. You know, it was really impressed upon me, especially this winter where, since January, I had no connection, and, you know, a lot of time to get spiritually closer and closer, and
the one thing I see, Mer, is that, you know, it doesn't matter, to me, it doesn't really matter what they call themselves. You know, if there were no Jews, there never was a Jew on this planet, you know, it'd be the Rotarians, you know, it's the Rotary Club, they're the ones,
but that's,
you know,
not the case,
the
Alan, that's not the case, there are Jews,
time,
and they are doing this. Okay,
yes,
we are spirits.
Exactly.
Listen, you don't need to go to church. You have Christ as a spirit in your heart. That's where you meet. That's your church. You don't need any earthly intermediary for health or law or religion. Religion is a man-made construct.
The institutions get perverted, not the actual word or the feelings. It's the institutions that
are created.
And who
does that, huh? Who perverts it? The ones that make the money, that is worthless. Okay, so whether or not there were or weren't, there are, okay? They've been kicked out 359 times, and they show up elsewhere. Okay, Columbus, his real name is Zarco. Okay, he and his brother Bart showed up and killed off the natives at a rate of one every 90 seconds. So there are no more of them because they called them lazy because they couldn't make good slaves out of them because they were peaceful. You know, any peoples that didn't have this guile, they had to get rid of. I mean, the Puritans were probably Puritans, and they were taking property. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we should have in our Declaration. Life, liberty, and property, not pursuit of happiness. Can't pursue happiness. That has to come from inside or not at all. I mean, we just live in
such... If you don't have
such...
a place you can ultimately retreat to, that where no one can come and kick you off of, you, if you don't have an, a place of ultimate retreat that you can go to, that you can stay safe, you are not free.
Well, none of us do, actually, but we still
right.
have to speak out freely, mm-hmm. as we see. And this is part of it. If we don't call this out, you hear everybody him-hawing around this and that, guess who publishes works of music or not? Okay?
Oh, I know.
There's a guy named Lior, he made him call him Lior, L-Y-O-R, Cohen, who controlled all the black rap music and wouldn't let him put out anything positive. You know, some of them, in honor to him, did Murder Incorporated, so he let the FBI come after him.
I mean, look how they throw it in our face. I mean, Cash Carey. I mean, these guys with, you know, Cash Carey. I mean, you know, it's just to the point of ridiculousness. I agree with you. I mean, at this point in time, yeah, it's the Jews that are doing it. They've always been the bankers and the merchants. They take everyone else's toil and work, and they profit off of it.
But, you know, the religion of Judaism is more of a cult, and that started at the foot of the cross, as E. Michael Jones says. That didn't start till after Christ was dead. And this revolutionary spirit, they're behind every revolution, every war. You know, Mike Rivero says the bankers were worse. Yeah, well, who are the bankers, Mike, huh? You know? So, anyway, Jews caused the Civil War. There's a two-part, well-documented... Pardon me?
I'm of the opinion that this is the first go-around that we've had doing this. You know, it's a... I've got a feeling that this has happened before, you know, and we're just, you know, just pull ourselves up from the dregs again, and who's in power this time? Was it the Jews the last time that we were around? I don't know.
Well, I don't think we were around that way. If you look into creation and the flood and everything, and I was really resistant to that. Neighbor gave me a book that they used as part of their homeschooling by Daniel Tiddick, and it's The Puzzle of Ancient Man. If you think about it, even after the flood, the people that survived, they still had the knowledge from before, you know, the Tower of Babel.
The
flood
view, yeah.
Well, no, they...
Hey, Mer, I got one more caller I want to try to sneak in here. So I'll give you a minute here to wrap up, and then we're going to go to Chance in West Virginia.
Well, so please look at those links in your chat. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Mer. You know, let's jump West Virginia real quick. Chance, are you there?
Yes. Hello, Steve. Hello, Al. You know, guys. Hello. Unfortunately, I think it's way past time of talking. I think we could talk until the cows come home. We should take a lesson from France.
No,
I think it's time for some good old fashioned yellow vesting in this country. Like I said, I think we could talk until the cows come home. They're not listening. What's the point of talking?
I think that we're slowly gaining some momentum, but I do kind of also, part of me feels like this whole thing's too
futile.
You know?
I agree with you, Steve. Steve, we're being educated, but it's not making a difference. See, that's the point I'm making.
We don't know that for sure, Kent. You know, we need numbers. Because lone martyrs do nothing, you know. It has to have numbers. That's what it always takes. You know, we know that there's only a few of them, but you know, and there's a whole bunch of us out here. But they're the ones that are aware. There's not just a whole lot of us. You know, there's more and more becoming aware, and the more and more that become aware, that's the only chance that we've got. That's why I do this. You know, I'm just trying to wake people up. I mean, I've come to the point too. Like it's past the point of you know, being solved. You know, through politics or you know all this other crap.
Oh yeah.
You know, it always comes down to it.
I think it's time to take it to the streets. Unfortunately, I don't see that any other way at this point because they're just not listening.
The thing is, I don't know that the take it to the streets thing, I don't know that there's enough support to actually do anything. You know, it's a critical mass that needs to be achieved when they take it to the streets and just say, you know, stop. Let's stop doing what we're doing, right? It has to achieve a critical mass, and this is the only real way to achieve that mass. And quite frankly, I think that this whole avenue is going to be shut down for us soon. And that we could, even if you tried to mobilize a whole bunch of people, Alan, quick, let's go out to Main Street. And then wow. We'll have me and Alan on Main Street. And we don't have any support. There's nobody there.
This is why it's got to be done. This has got to be done. Why it's got to be done soon, before our hands are tied. Because I just don't see a solution coming at all, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know.
At this point in time, the technology that we have against us is way beyond most people's comprehension. The technology that's been kept.
Okay. God bless both you, gentlemen. Now keep up the good work.
Yeah. Thanks, Chance. Hey, Chance. Wow.
No, Steve. One thing that gets me, Steve, always has, is we're supposed to question. A lot of us out there, it's like we question everything. We figured out that we've been lied to a whole lot. It infuriates me. I don't want to get rid of people's basic goodness, but we're supposed to question everything except for one book. And which version of that book? Why is there a chapter called Romans? Because when the book was written originally, the Romans were in power, and it had to go through the censors to even be written. And that's why there's a chapter of Romans in there. Bow to your government, it's good, it's of God, Where does that come into play? And then people don't like to think about that. They take people's basic goodness, and it's been used against us as a weapon. Believe what you want to believe, but do not just get into the dogma. The dogma is what kills us every time.
Well, I don't know, man. I do know that feels like what we're talking about. With Jerry in Texas, the whole issue of, telling a cop, are you code enforcement or law enforcement? That's when we start talking down that rabbit trail, Alan, we're dividing our numbers, not actually adding to the numbers. Adding people that understand the world around us creates an environment where it's possible, and I know the streets is it's a placeholder for a bigger, let's stop all this stuff, right? But you need to hit critical mass, and we're not critical mass yet. We're bigger than I was, or it was 10 years ago when I first became aware.
How many times have you heard someone say, though, Steve, it's like, well, if you're not a Christian, I can't use you. It's like that throws out a whole bunch of people out there that don't believe exactly like that person says, believes. That throws a whole lot of people, good people, out of the mix. If you're a good Hindu, I want you on my side. If you're a good Catholic, I want you on my side. Good whatever, I want you on my side. I don't care what you call yourself. If you're a good person and you have a good heart and you know what's right and what's wrong, that's who I want on my side. I don't care what you call yourself.
Yeah, I hear you. And there's the music. Here comes the music. So, anyways, you've been listening to the Republic of Texas radio show. Join us next week, and maybe we'll figure out what's going on with this world. I doubt it. Thanks to the chat room. There is a lot of information out there. You can go back and check it. Thanks to all the callers, the mail, the emails, even the hate mail. Thank you for sending the hate mail. You seem to really love to hate. We'll see you guys next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product, and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.